Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for December 12, 2019. I'm Mary Sherman.
Today, we begin consideration of two articles of impeachment against President Donald J. Trump.
The House Judiciary Committee last night began to weigh articles of impeachment accusing President Donald Trump of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Committee Chair Democrat Gerald Nadler of New York opened the hearing by calling the facts overwhelming.
This committee now owes it to the American people to give these articles close attention and to describe their factual basis, meaning, and importance.
Republican members called the hearings a waste of time and accused Democrats of ignoring the facts. Republican Jim Jordan of Ohio said liberals won't stop attacking Trump because they don't like him and his supporters.
They don't like the 63 million people who voted for this president. All of us in flyover country, all of us common folk in Ohio, Wisconsin, Tennessee, and Texas, they don't like us.
Democrat Zoe Lofgren of California, the only lawmaker to work on three impeachment probes, called Trump's actions more serious than President Nixon's.
It's understandable that Republicans feel loyalty to the leader of their party, but loyalty to our country and our Constitution must be greater.
Trump is just the fourth president in U.S. history to face the prospect of such a sanction for misconduct in office, which could be approved next week by the House floor. The U.S. House passed an annual defense authorization bill Wednesday that includes two firsts. It will provide all federal workers with 12 weeks of paid parental leave, a provision agreed to by the White House in order to ensure the establishment of Space Force, a new branch of military service. The Senate is expected to take up the compromise bill and send it to the president's desk as early as next week. Washington's paid family and medical leave program is gearing up to give workers time off when they need it the most. Eric Tegedoff reports.
Starting in January, Washington will become the fifth state to offer comprehensive leave, allowing employees to take up to 12, and in some cases 18, weeks off to care for a new child, a loved one, or in the event of a medical emergency. Marilyn Watkins with the Economic Opportunity Institute says some employers in the state already offer leave benefits, but they're mainly for highly paid workers. Most lower-wage workers don't have this option. She says the goal of this program is to make leave accessible to everyone,
so that they can keep themselves healthy and be as healthy as they can be, that they can really nurture their young children as well as care for those sick family members in ways that benefit the health and well-being of everybody.
Benefits are funded through a payroll premium of 0.4% that began last January. Watkins says Washington State's efforts to provide leave are different because it has to build the program from scratch. The other four states added paid family leave to their already existing temporary disability insurance programs.
This is PNS. Central North Dakota has been in the spotlight as Burleigh County considered whether to stop accepting refugees based on a federal policy change. Even though the full plan failed, advocates say more education is needed.
Lutheran Social Services oversees refugee resettlement in North Dakota. The agency's Shirley Dykeshorn says while a lot of people opposed to accepting more refugees at the county level had informed opinions, there's still a lack of understanding in the general discussion.
There's a lot of confusion about what's the difference between a refugee and other types of immigrants.
County officials had signaled they would ban all refugees following a recent move by the Trump administration, giving local governments the authority to do so. But the county commission instead voted to cap the number for next year at 25.
That was Mike Moen reporting. Now to Kentucky, where advocates for reproductive rights say women in the state face yet another obstacle to receiving an abortion after the Supreme Court's refusal this week to hear a legal challenge to the law.
Kentucky Ultrasound Informed Consent Act mandates that doctors perform an ultrasound on women seeking an abortion and describe its images in detail. If there is a fetal heartbeat, the law requires physicians to make that heartbeat audible to the patient. The ACLU challenged the law to the High Court, and staff attorney Heather Gitnerick says the court's decision signals the end of the legal fight to overturn the law.
Where this used to be an option for patients, it is now forced on every patient. And there are plenty of situations where patients may not want to hear this information.
The law does not allow for any exceptions to providing ultrasound information, even in cases of rape or incest.
Maryland is among states where thousands of rape kits have sat untested in storage, and now millions of dollars are set to help police process the kits and help keep pace with new cases. Diane Bernard reports.
The funding is part of a new state law that requires police to submit most rape kits for forensic testing within 30 days unless the victim opposes testing. Lisa Jordan with the Maryland Coalition Against Sexual Assault says the state has a backlog of more than 6,000 untested rape kits going back decades.
Maryland just repeatedly and consistently failed to test rape kits. It's disrespectful to survivors, and it's something that we need to fix.
Maryland is providing $3.5 million in a new state fund for testing over the next 5 years.
If you want to contribute to more than a century of science about the feathered friends in your community, Audubon's Christmas Bird Count starts this weekend. Jonathan Hayes is executive director of Audubon New Mexico.
It helps us know what the birds in North America are doing over time, but also keys us into things that happen to bird population in short periods of time from 1 year to another.
I'm Mary Sherman for Public News Service, member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.